Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Commissioner Rick Bacon with me, and folks, you're going to be excited. This man is really doing a lot to help the citizens and homeowners of San Angelo. We're going to talk about the flood insurance issue. We'll be back with Commissioner Bacon and see what all is going on. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Welcome back to Real Estate and You. Commissioner Bacon, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, Scott. Appreciate
and
it.
Just talking to you in the last months, and you, I, as a realtor and a homeowner in San Angelo, Texas, the work you're doing, and we're talking about flood insurance, folks. Can you talk a little bit? Well, let me back up. Folks, I guess 2 years ago, they changed all the regs, all the rules, and basically right. If you had flood insurance, typical was, $200, $300, $400, $500. When they removed the assistance the government was giving for flood insurance, we had people that their insurance went from $500 a year to $12,000 a year.
Right. Depending on the price of the house.
Yes, yep. Depending on the price of the house. But Commissioner Bacon has jumped on board. And if you don't mind, share with us what you've been working on. And I know for sure two houses that I know that you helped the people remove the flood insurance.
Right. Well, what it is FEMA came in and mandated flood areas and designated areas as flood zones. And there's a particular area here in San Angelo over by the Coliseum, goes up Grape Creek Road up in that area that was designated as a flood area. And the residents over there had told us years and years that they had never seen it flood in that area, that the water never collected up. So we had an engineer that came in that kind of dealt with FEMA, had dealt with some of these issues, and brought a proposal to us, said that he thought that we had a really good chance of getting that redesignated, either downgraded so flood insurance would not be required, or do away with the flood zone completely.
Well, and FEMA said point blank, they basically go cast a net out there. And they don't have specific everything. So sometimes what they get in their nail net really isn't in a floodplain.
Right. What we found out on this particular one was that they looked at a map. We, as best we can tell, they were looking at maps from prior to the dam being built. And on that map, there was something called like Mustang Draw, or there was some name in it, and it just indicated that there was a draw there. And so they came in and using that map, just identified this specific area and designated as a flood, and actually a floodway, which is the most expensive flood insurance that you have to have, because it indicates that there would be actually water flowing down that part of the flood zone. So they've gone through. We've done topographical studies. We've done aerial photographs. We're actually going to be briefed on the final results this Tuesday during Commissioner's Court, 8:30, Ed B. Keyes Building, if anybody wants to come and listen. After that, we're going to be submitting our application to FEMA to have that downgraded. Probably take 6 to 12 months to get back. The federal government doesn't move at a real quick pace. But in my perspective, at least it's some hope for homeowners out there, anyone trying to sell their home or buy a home, realizing that hopefully that's going to come to an end soon.
Well, and what I understand with FEMA too, if you do get a test, a topography test, which will show if your house is in a floodplain or not, and around San Angelo, it's around $500.
Yeah, floodplain study, elevation study.
Elevation
correct.
Study. Yeah. FEMA said that they would reimburse you that cost if you truly are out of it. Have you heard that part?
Now, I haven't heard that. I haven't heard of anyone getting that money back yet. And not anyone I've talked to has said that they would reimburse that.
Okay.
And also, might reiterate, you're not going to get retroactive insurance reimbursements either when this if this designation comes through. In other words, the FEMA is not going to reimburse you your money and say, oh, we made a mistake, it wasn't a flood zone, and by the way, we're going to give you your flood insurance money back.
100% true on that. In fact, we just had a house on North Van Buren, which pretty close in the north side of San Angelo, mm-hmm. and they've been paying a little bit, it's $300 or $400, a year for flood insurance for years and years and years. First thing I did, in fact, it was after talking to you a couple of months ago, I recommended that they get an elevation certificate. Guess what? Their house was never in a floodplain.
Right.
So the bad news is, yeah, they did spend a lot of money for years and years. They didn't have to. But the good news is we could sell the house, which we did, and we didn't have to have flood insurance, which made the house sellable.
Exactly. And that's something we might want to let other people know, is just because we have a specific area that's been targeted for this floodplain that we're trying to redesignate, any house that's in that, you can get that elevation study done, and sometimes you can get some relief from that so that you don't have to pay that, or they'll prorate what you pay so that it's not quite as expensive.
And folks, if you think about it, what we just said, let's say you take $100,000 to $150,000 house, and the insurance goes towards $800 to $1,000 a month, nobody's going to buy that house.
So, yes, I've had some realtors call me and say they've lost some sales because of that.
Well,
because,
and the poor homeowner, so this is a huge issue.
Right.
And I'll tell you right now, I'm a Rick Bacon fan after all this. I am.
Well, thank you.
He didn't just sit on his, on his hands and say this is a serious issue for Tom Green County. He's got out there, and as you can tell by what he's doing, he's fighting for homeowners' rights. And so this is huge. And so I want to thank you a bunch for what you're doing for our homeowners here in San Angelo.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Kind of moving off the topic, I know you spent the last 2 days in the summit.
Yes, the 11th annual oil and gas summit hosted by the Chamber of Commerce, Representative Drew Darby. Excellent, excellent conference. Anyone that didn't have an opportunity to go listen to the different speakers that we had at that, lots of good information, good indication of what's fixing to happen in our next legislative session that's coming up in January. Good information. We had several state representatives that came in for this, and we had panels and forums, got to ask lots of questions and gather lots of information. Excellent conference.
Well, a little bit to, depending on who I'm talking to, which day of the week it is, this will be here for a year and it's a boom bust. Oh, it's going to be here forever and ever. But what were the message they sent to you yesterday?
We had several briefings, of course, from the oil industry, and one of the briefings that we received was to show the magnitude of what we have out in this area. Of course, the Permian Basin has always been big. People have known about that for years and years. But now the technology that's increased with horizontal drilling and going in and with the fracking process and being able to drill horizontally, it's enabled them to capture a lot of the oil that's in these shale formations. It just so happens that out in this area, there are two very large shale formations, and actually one is on top of the other. And so they were indicating us that this is not a short-term deal. Oil companies, they're investing millions and millions of dollars out in this area to drill, and this isn't something that's going to go away in a year or two. They're talking that we'd be able to keep producing at least 20 years or more down the road. That's exciting.
Our reserve was how big?
They don't really know how much is down there. They just know that the shale formations are huge, and that it's going to produce millions and millions of barrels of oil.
Yeah, I think you were mentioning earlier how many rigs are in the state of Texas right now.
Right. There's, I think they said there's almost 15, nearly 1,600 drilling rigs in the entire country right now. Half of those are in Texas. And the majority of those are in the Permian Basin and in Concho Valley now, Erie County, Reagan County, those areas.
Yeah, Big Lake's going crazy.
And yes, we heard from the Reagan County judge, and he indicated some of the issues that they've had to deal with with the rapid growth that they've had in that area.
Can you correct me earlier? We're talking is the Sprayberry.
Yeah, there's a Sprayberry. I wish I'd have known you were going to bring this up. I could have brought some of the information.
I'm sorry.
But there's several.
We're doing it spontaneous. He's got all this in his head, folks. That's how good he's doing.
But everybody's heard about the Eagle Ford Shale that's down in South Texas. Up here, I think we've got the Cline, the Sprayberry, and Wolf Camp. Those three, and those are all shale formations. If you could see on a map, it covers several counties out in this area. Comes into Tom Green County, most of Erie County, Sterling County, up into Coke County a little bit, and a little bit further north. And so these fields are huge, and that's why there's such an interest in the drilling and doing this process, this fracking process of bringing that oil out of the ground. And folks, Texas is the number one oil producer, of course, in the U.S., but right now I think we're number two oil producer in the world. We're actually getting to a point where we could actually start exporting oil. If the federal government can reduce some regulations, we could actually become an oil exporter along the lines of Saudi Arabia or anywhere else.
That's unbelievable. Wow. And of course, with the growth, you can feel it. If you're driving around, you know, outside of town, and all the, and of course, Commissioner Bacon deals with the county more than the city stuff, and all y'all work together hand in hand on a lot of issues.
And yeah, in fact, we just recently, we received a grant from the state, from TxDOT, a $462,000 grant to help with some of the roads, county roads, because of the increased traffic generated by the oil industry. Of course, most of what we have are the frac sand trucks, heavy trucks, rigs moving around. And so those take a pretty heavy toll on
the
roads.
They ruin the roads.
And so in some instances, especially heavy when trucks. County roads that weren't built to handle that heavy of traffic, those heavy of loads, it takes a toll on them.
Well, I'm going to brag on your whole commission one more deal before. I know how busy you are, and I do appreciate your time. But in years past, and folks, I've been doing the development stuff. I mainly do the sales part of it, but for 20-something years. And before, you'd kind of go out there and you would see if something's happening or that's not going to happen, or you know, when you who talk to, it changes day to day. I'm going to say, with our current Judge
Steve Floyd.
Mm-hmm. And yourself and the whole commission, y'all have laid it out in a business proposition. So there's lots of people coming here. We have lots of new developments going on.
Yes.
But if somebody from out of town, somebody in town, if they want to do a development in the county, they can take it to y'all and you say, here's the business proposition we have. You know, you make a business decision if it's good for you.
Correct.
And that hasn't always been that way.
Right.
Which I think is awesome. Again, you know, hats off to the commissioners. Because if it's not, you know, if you go in there and say, well, that's not a good deal, then you don't have to do it.
Right.
But you know that up front.
Right. And as a court, we understand the impact that the economy has on the county. I mean, we do deal with county business, but as that expansion is going to be happening in the county. And so we want to, I will say one of my pet peeves is I want people, when they come to Commissioner's Court or when they come to Tom Green County, go to the county clerk's office, ask a question about what they need to do as far as any kind of development in here, that they get the information they need and they're not having to go to three or four different places and get three or four different answers. I want them to be able to come in, have a checklist, go down through that. They know who to see, where to go, and make that process and streamline it as much as possible.
And y'all have done that. I mean, thank you a bunch. Folks, that's good for every citizen in San Angelo, because that brings more business to San Angelo, brings more income to San Angelo. You know, and a lot of the oilfield business is in the county, not necessarily in the city.
Correct.
So y'all are dealing with a lot of those issues too.
Right.
Have y'all had to address the man cap issue very much?
Actually, we've been fairly lucky with that. We instituted some new rules and regulations year before last that kind of helped beef that up a little bit, so that don't get me wrong, there were some camps that were already in development, and you'll probably see a couple. But for the most part, we've laid out some regulations that if they come in, it's a pretty involved process that they go through as far as what the requirements are that we laid out from a county perspective. And we just recently had an agreement, a memorandum of understanding that we signed with the city as far as some of the things that happen in our there's an area called the extra territorial jurisdiction. The city actually has control over that for 3.5 miles outside of the city limits. And so we were having some issues in that, and so together the city and the county have worked together, and we're working towards that, and I think we've got that set as well. So back to that same thing: when people come in, they know exactly who to see, where to go, and what to expect.
And that's super important. You heard it called the ETJ a lot.
Yes, ETJ.
And it, of course, that's developed on how big the city is, and our size is about 3.5 miles, and some will go up to 5 miles.
The extension is 3.5. I think depending on the size, it's the population of the city as to how big that expansion buffer zone is.
Can you touch on that just a little bit? So if you're in that 3.5 mile range, do you have to work with the city and the county?
No, that's part of what the agreement was, is that if they come in and it's within the ETJ, so if someone comes into my office and I see that, then I tell them they have to go to the city planning commission and talk to them and go through those. Now, at least there's communication between the city and county. Before, a developer could come in, just go see the city. I wouldn't have any idea what's going on. I'd be driving down the road and see something going up and, hey, what's going on? And so now we have communication back and forth, so that anytime someone comes in with that type of proposal, the city will notify us. And as I said, you know, I send them to the city if I know that's where it is.
So it starts with the city planning?
Yes.
And then if the city planning approves it, does it then go?
Yes, everything is handled through the city if it's within the ETJ.
Okay, but they keep you all in the loop.
They just keep us in the loop now. Right.
Well, folks, that's a lot better system. That way everybody knows what's going on. It's a lot easier. And, of course, as our city keeps developing and keeps growing, that's going to be a more and more important part of the development process.
That's the area it's going to develop into most of the time. So. Right.
Well, Commissioner Bacon, I appreciate you taking your time. Lots and lots of good information. And I know you've been very generous, you know, with letting people call you if they have a problem.
Anytime.
And how do they get a hold of you?
They can call my cell phone. That's 325-234-4261. Or they can call the county commissioner's office, commissioner's court. I always call back when people leave a message.
Hey, I can attest to him. He always calls you back. You know, I know, and you're busy. I know that, but you do call people back, and you do take care of stuff, and for nothing but good things. So, again, I want to thank you for all you're doing for everybody.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. I like to get the word out. It's nice to be able to. I always feel like that if people are informed, then they can make informed decisions.
Absolutely. Folks, we're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back after word from our sponsors.